And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 14th, 2013. This is Season 7, Episode 31. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. That is 334-272-9228. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat, as well as over on Facebook. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming the cam feed right now through Twitch, and you can find us there as well as join the chat room live while we broadcast and subscribe to us. That would be great. We also stream games on there from time to time and have a lot of fun, such as we did last night. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. Little update from last week's episode. Video Games Live have hit their goal, their funding goal. They got to 250 grand is what they needed, and they finally reached it within about the last 48 to 24 hours left in the drive, and they hit it, and it's great, and hopefully you got in on that and can reap the rewards that they were offering for some of the backers, because there was a lot of good stuff there. So I did, and congratulations to Tommy as well for hitting the goal there, and everybody at Video Games Live. So congratulations on that. Anyway, welcome to the show. Last week was the music show. This week is the regular show, I guess you could call it. And we have it's been a while since we've done a show. So the last time we did one was for the was right before PAX. And then we skipped that one for PAX, and then when we got back from PAX, we did the music show. So it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk about anything, and going to catch up on some old news. One of the big things, obviously, that happened was that Microsoft revealed their release date for the Xbox One, getting it a week later from the PlayStation 4 on the 22nd. I believe.
Also a Friday.
Yeah, also
both
a
of them are both of them are Fridays.
Both of them are Fridays, and I can't even remember. I know Nintendo always does their stuff on Sundays, but I can't remember what the 360 and the PS3, I can't remember what days those released on.
It's been too long.
I know. I cannot remember what days.
And those companies aren't especially consistent with days.
No.
It's a bit of a what I imagine to be a tradition with Nintendo to come out on Sundays, but for what the other guys offer, I think they and it's not arbitrary choices, but you know, they have their reasons for why they did it. Not that it matters all that much.
Now, I was always thinking that it, software and movies and whatnot. Software always came out on like Tuesdays and whatnot. That was like the big release day.
But primarily,
I thought the systems would be so as well, but that's not the case here.
No, and software releases on Tuesdays are actually becoming a little less common as the concept of release becomes fuzzier and fuzzier and less distinct over time, particularly on the PC. The need to release something absolutely on a Tuesday just doesn't hold as much meaning as it once did. With traditional console or multi-platform titles, yeah, it's going to be the same thing for a while. And we've talked about this, investigated it, asked people who know why that is the way it is. I can't ever hold the knowledge in my mind for very long because that's just mostly how it is. It's coordinated releases based on, everything from marketing to the pressing of discs to the shipping and coordinated retail shenanigans. I don't know. How long is it going to be past the absolute death of the plastic disc that we still have to wait around in a completely virtual environment for a Tuesday?
Yeah, I wonder if that date will still stick once it kind of moves into that.
Then that's exactly what I'm asking. It's there's already so many problems with that. There's already so many ridiculous problems with digital things not going live or being unlocked until a certain hour of the day. Even though digital goods, I mean, this is apropos of nothing, I don't think that we were talking about, but for digital goods, right, a lot of times they won't go live until a certain time. Say an MMO or something like that that's already been pre-downloaded, that kind of thing won't happen until midnight Pacific time in the U.S.
Well, yeah, then we get into time zones. Yeah.
No, exactly. But so it is live everywhere at exactly the same time. But the sale of a disc, right? This coming Tuesday, midnight sales of Grand Theft Auto 5, midnight in your time zone.
Right.
It isn't like I have to head down to the local retail establishment to pick up my cardboard and plastic at 3 a.m. our time or 2 a.m. our time when it's midnight in Pacific. They don't care. That's right. All fine. That's all perfectly localized. That's all absolutely fine. But with digital media, for somehow it's always coordinated at a single time. I think these things are going to wind up sticking around for a while, vestigially, you know, like kind of just as a remnant. Whatever. There's a word for things like that stick around and don't actually are no longer what they originally represented, mm-hmm. but are nonetheless just you know, an icon.
Let me ask you. You'll know this because you picked up Wrath of the Lich King. I know you picked up the box copy because obviously Blizzard wasn't doing their digital storefront yet. Were the servers open at the same? I mean, was everything ready for something like that?
Yeah, actually, okay. they accommodated that fact. I remember specifically picking up Wrath, going home, installing it, and playing for like 4 hours, and then going to work.
Yeah.
But yes, it wasn't until shortly thereafter that they started doing their digital downloads. Right. So they had already kind of designed everything around that. But once they started doing it digitally and unlocking digitally, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I know.
At least I think I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, it had ceased whenever they.
It's a strange thing. It's going to be very strange in the future once we've moved on to that exclusively, and the days as well. I think are going to continue to be sort of a weird thing.
But. Yeah. And in some of the news that we got this week was Sony had their Tokyo Game Show news, mostly about the Vita. Vita getting a new version of the Vita. The Vita 2000, I guess, is what it's being called. 20% thinner, 15% lighter. It'll come in 6 new colors, and that is Japan only so far. The screen is going to be an LCD instead of the OLED.
Instead of an OLED, yeah.
That was something I only caught on after, like, a couple of days after it had announced. People were doing the comparisons. And that's when I read, I thought they were keeping it the same, but that's when I read, oh, that's LED? Wow. Right. So people waiting to jump on this are actually, it all depends on what you favor, but OLED looks really, really good.
Yeah, it's an excellent looking screen. But if it's people who are, let's just say for a second that there are people who want a Vita but aren't willing to pay what they've been asking for it, even after the announced and effective price drops for the flagship model of the Vita. If that person isn't necessarily willing to pay the amount of money they're asking for the system, then dropping quality on one or two key elements of the system, I don't think is going to deter that person. That person is already, they're already not buying at the premium rate, at the premium level of technology. You know, I think a lot of them would agree that, look, here's the option. I can give you a crappier screen and a better deal, or nothing. Or you can save up your pennies and go buy the more expensive model. Which one's it going to be?
Yeah.
Because if you want the more expensive one with the better components, it's still on the market. It's still perfectly available. So what's it going to be? And usually it kind of shakes out that people are willing to pay less money for you know, less quality, for a little bit of feature loss if it saves them something. So that's whatever. I guess, whatever. For me, one of the biggest attractions of the Vita, though, has been what it's just a dead sexy piece of technology. It is just beautiful, looks really sleek, like, the screen is beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful piece of tech. I'd like to have it at its best.
Yeah.
For a lot less money.
So would probably everybody in that regard. Nabokov says no more OLED means no more interest. I think
that's fair. I mean, that's a typically Nabokov kind of statement, but it's completely fair.
No, I'm not.
Because it's one of the things that sets it apart from other very, very average, very entry-level electronics.
That screen is
It's something that makes it, it's very much a part of what they were advertising when they were advertising the reason for the system's existence, you know, so.
He says Japan only. Are the Vitas region-free? I never own one. I don't know if that's
I don't know.
I have never looked into it. I think that they are. I want to say that they are. It depends on I think it's up to the publishers of the games that maybe make that happen. I'm not exactly sure. I honestly don't know. Okay. I really don't know. I know the Netflix app obviously is one of those situations where, you know, it only works in. You know, if you download it on the U.S. store, then that's where you're getting it. You know, that's what you're getting from it. So maybe it depends on where you get. And that may go the same for, like, downloadable games.
Okay.
Rather than games that are on the...
So the system, not necessarily, but the digital store, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, and somebody in the chat room may completely blow that away with us, so and have an answer for it. The Vita TV was announced. Connects to your TV. It can play Vita games via slot on the device, and it can stream PS4 games using remote play. It also plays PS1 and PSP games, and has a price tag of $100 so far, again, in Japan only. Mm-hmm. But another way to incentivize, Vita. For current Vita owners to have something else to go after and something else to whet the appetite of not yet Vita owners.
Okay, hold on.
To get both.
I'm going to tell you a very quick story about what happens in my brain. I hear something TV and I instantly tune out.
Mm.
Instantaneously. A giant stone wall comes down and cuts off the part like where I previously cared. I don't. Like, if you put TV at the end of it, for some reason, I think you're selling it to somebody else. But recap those capabilities of that system, right? It's like a non-portable version of the Vita that plays Vita games.
Yep.
You'll stream PS4 games to your TV.
Mm-hmm.
The PS4 streams PS4 games to your TV, I want to point out. But setting that aside, I mean, it does. It hooks right into your TV. Why do I need the Vita TV to stream my PS4 games to my TV?
Maybe you want to play them in another part of the house. I don't know. Maybe you want to hook it up to your...
No, forget that. Anyway.
I'm just throwing options out there. Not
really,
for you.
They're really stupid options.
Not for you.
It really works like the Aver Media Card where you can put it on your computer or something. But
I don't know,
to
man.
To the TV,
whatever.
Wouldn't make sense, like you say.
It's already a thing I don't care about doing a thing I don't care about. But it plays Vita games and plays those on the TV and plays PSP games.
PS1 and PSP games, yes.
Hmm. See, that's actually a little bit interesting because as much as I like the Vita, like again, as a nice little nugget of just sexy tech, I don't play games. I don't play mobile games. You know, I live in one of the worst places on the face of the earth for actually using transportation that isn't me driving a car.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have public transportation. I don't sit in like long lines at places particularly. I mean, if I had like a bus trip or some kind of a train or mass transit or something, then I think my relationship to portable gaming would actually be very different.
I understand.
It would be super, super different.
I completely understand.
But there are also certain things for the systems that I would theoretically be interested in checking out. So that part of it, I guess, maybe does interest me, even though I had tuned out because it says TV on it. I don't know. I guess now it's down to really asking, does the Vita's library matter at all?
Yeah.
And generally I hear that it really doesn't. Even if you've got plenty of free things through PS Plus, just because there's something to play on it doesn't actually validate any amount of money being spent on it. But I don't know, $100, you know? I mean, people were sort of whelping away $100 bills on the oh yeah. You know, I mean, well, they were.
Yeah.
Oh, it's $100. What do I care? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not obviously like an impulse purchase quite at the hardware level, you know? But it certainly is like, I can totally whelp that $100. I can be like, you know, whatever. Like, how much am I really out since I'm buying a piece of fairly versatile technology with these kinds of things? I don't know. It's maybe slightly interesting.
No, I like.
But I can't take it into the bathroom, so I don't know. Never mind. I changed my mind.
No, I like the idea. It's a great point of what you said is that for those who kind of put their Vita down whenever they get home. I mean, even if you do use it for travel, you come home and you're done. It goes back to charging, I guess. Whatever the case. But maybe you're having fun with whatever that game is, and it's nice to have that option. I'm curious what it's going to look like to stream it through to a TV and how the resolution looks on screen and that sort of stuff, to see what that's going to do with it. But given the option at home, I'd much prefer to play on my TV screen. It's one of the things. I've got an app on my iPad right now that has a lot of pinball tables. It's not from Zen, it's from somebody else, and they're close to getting their Steam version of that game out of Greenlight, and when they do, I'm going to be really happy because I can stop playing on my iPad while I'm sitting at home. It's great for here at work or doing whatever somewhere else, portable, that sort of thing. But I would love to have it on a screen at the house. And you could currently do that with anything you can buy from Apple, but I don't know. For whatever reason, it's just that's about the only game I've ever played on it. So it goes back to the library situation of what do you have worth spending another extra $100 on that you can stream to your TV or stream it to another room if you want to have that option. So
I don't know. If it turns out that its streaming capabilities are fine, then maybe.
Well, you'll know where you can try it.
Yeah. I mean, if it's fine, if it could really stream the PS4 to a second thing. Because I'm thinking about what RJ said. I'm thinking about putting it to my computer monitor rather than having to find another way. You know, because sometimes that's an interesting
thing. Well, that makes me wonder about Matt, I believe, in the chat room had sent us a tweet about if we were going to comment on the rumor of the PlayStation 4 not allowing capture cards.
I'm sorry. I thought that was well known. That it was using HDCP.
Yeah.
I thought we knew that. Did we not know that? I read that story and was like,
it came up earlier, but I don't remember.
It maybe
how
just
wasn't
was. Confirmed. I think we were just assuming that it would, and that you would have to bypass. Because I remember
we had this conversation before.
Because you pointed out the exact stuff that we would have to use in order to bypass that for streaming.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, just this. This will do it. This already does it.
Mm-hmm.
So, certainly bad for ease of use.
Right, yeah.
Certainly bad that you have to go around, you know, poking holes through the DMCA in order to stream something to YouTube. But I don't know. That's very much where we live right now. So, it's unfortunate, but yeah, it's expected. Fair enough, I guess.
Well, apparently, to make the news, it wasn't expected by many, or it wasn't known.
I don't know. Then maybe I was obviously in error thinking it was known, so I'm ahead of the curve.
You're
not
way
particularly
ahead of the
bothered.
Curve.
I digested that piece of bad news several weeks ago, I guess.
Yeah, we're completely okay with
I've moved on to acceptance.
That's one of those things I was curious about. If you were to stream it to a computer monitor,
A computer monitor is a 24-inch television.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is.
To go through my head a little bit and be like, well, you're still not going to have access.
There's no such thing as a TV anymore.
Yeah, it's not going to go through. Yeah, so anyway, that's out. Some of the other stuff that had made news was that you've got, James specifically speaking, it got 7 days of extra game time for Final Fantasy XIV due to the instability on the servers.
Yeah, you want to start that right now? I mean, keep it simple. It's 7 days I won't be using.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll just have to come back to that, because I'm very curious as to why that is, because so far that's the first I've heard you say something like that about it.
I haven't really said much either way.
You haven't, but we've always been, we've just been talking about, are you going to stream the game tonight? Yes, I am, and then watch you stream. Nothing as far as the opinions, and we haven't really gotten your opinions. Again, it's been 2 weeks since
you
we've
done... You haven't gotten his opinions.
A show. Yeah, well, you work with him. That's very true. So anyway, I guess when we come back, we will talk about that. Coming up at 7 o'clock, hopefully we're going to have this interview working with the Time Difference, guy from Beta Dwarf Entertainment. They are the makers of a game called Forced. It is on Steam right now, early access, and you can pick it up. But Christopher Groelich is going to be calling us from Denmark. It's going to be about 2 o'clock in the morning over there. So hopefully, number one, his alarm goes off. And number two, we got the time difference correct in our email exchange back and forth. And he'll be calling us at the top of the hour. We'll be talking about Forced. We streamed some of it last night. And we will also be talking about that game as well. Had a lot of fun with it. It's a pure four-player co-op type game. And we'll go into more details coming up on In-Game Chat. We will be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chats.
League of Legends.
Or playing League of Legends on Twitch. Trying to increase our viewing rate and our subscribers and everything else. Yes, we're playing League of Legends right now. It's the new update. Anyway, welcome to the show. Getting back into what we kind of left off with there was Final Fantasy XIV. Had some launch week issues. You took the entire week off.
I did. When I do launched. That sometimes. Also, I was like out of paid time. I was like, I don't really like to get into this argument. I mean, I really do, because I actually go looking for this argument on the internet all the time. You know, about taking time off for games. I don't take time off. I just don't do it. So I accrue my maximum amount of time off. And so my workplace is like, nope. You're going to take them or you're going to lose them or whatever. So Every now and then when there's an MMO that I'm interested in, I'll take the week off to try to like give it the most attention I possibly can during that week. I really wind up doing a lot of other things too. But I try to spend, you know, an extra amount of time just playing that game, seeing what it has to offer. I know, I will say, now that the game has been out for more than a couple of weeks, almost 3 weeks counting early access, I believe 3 weeks exactly counting early access, it is technically performing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is playing, and things are mostly pretty great. So a lot of the heat and a lot of the anger has kind of died down. I have played most of them. Not all, but I've played most. And I play MMOs at launch. I do it all the time because I think that is one very particular picture of what that game can be like. And it is, in its own way, a very fun thing. While everyone is around you discovering things together. While it's new for everyone. Yeah. Or as new as it can be expected to be. Without a doubt, Final Fantasy XIV's relaunch was the worst technical launch I've ever seen of an MMO. It was horrible. It was horrible. The game was filled with massive amount of connectivity and server errors. The actual in-game portion of the game, if you could get in, if you could stay online, was very fun. It was very functional. The leveling game is quite cute, and it's very satisfying to a lot of the people who wanted another very traditional, contemporary-style MMO, and to the people who wanted some kind of well-made AAA Final Fantasy release of any kind. I think that those two communities are clashing terribly in the game now that they're not both fighting the same demons. Of even trying to get online, but I think that it was very poorly handled from a technical point of view. I think they either underestimated or intentionally ignored information about the demand from the West, from Europe and the Americas. I think that they took very conservative approaches to certain things. They underestimated in hopes of not appearing foolish. Or if not overreaching in certain respects. Regardless, their systems could not handle even a portion of the people who are trying to play their game. They don't have certain systems in place that almost every other multiplayer game in the world has.
They had no login queue, right?
They had no login queue. They have something that is a little bit like a login queue, but it seems, through kind of a lot of guesswork and a lot of comparison, that the login queue, right? You try to log into a server. Servers can only handle so many connections at one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I do understand that. It's very popular. So, hey, it's already full. You guy over there, you have to sit in a queue. And we're going to automatically advance you in that queue until there is enough space on the server for you to get in. That's acceptable. It's something we've grown to understand. The thing they also do not have is an auto logout feature. Where if they determine that your character, your connection, is inactive for a certain period of time, they'll just boot you offline. Hey, you're not playing. You obviously are doing something else. You're not being productive. You're taking up a slot that another person who could be online playing the game could use. So off you go. And that's fine. When you come back, you just hop into the queue. It's not super happy-making, but it's okay. It's acceptable because we understand why that works the way it does. They had no such thing, nothing at all like that. So people were logging on they would set their alarms and log on at like 2 or 3 in the morning when it was possible to get past some of these errors, some of these malfunctions and problems, and actually get online and just stay there. They'd go back to bed, wake up, go to work, come home. Their character had been logged in for 14, 16, 18 hours, and then they would go play until they encountered some kind of connectivity error and were knocked offline. So it's been talked about in thousands of different places. There's no point in going into it in detail, but it was a horrible, horrible, horrible launch. It was really, really bad, mostly because people could get in and realize that they were having a lot of fun with it. So having said that, it's not really for me. I have had fun with it, and I can see possibly toying around with it in certain respects, but I think there are really strange imbalances between what needs to happen to satisfy people who just like MMOs, who have a need to play a really well-designed, really fun-to-play, really engaging, well-dressed Skinner box. Because there's nobody who doesn't know that's what it is. But, you know, I like a good magic show as much as the next guy, as long as, you know, all the flourishes are in place, as long as it's a good show. I like a good show. And that's what an MMO is. And it can be really fun. And there are people who are always looking for that. There are also people who are playing this game, many, many, many people, for whom this is their first MMO, A, yeah. Or B, for whom they have only played Final Fantasy MMOs, either the 1.0 version of this game and or Final Fantasy XI. So they have a very narrow view of what the genre is and what it's become and why it has moved in the direction it has and all of this other stuff. And then you've got people who are just Final Fantasy fans, and they're like, I am unconcerned that this is an online game. And I feel for those people. I really, really do. Because you're going to have a very bad time. And I'm starting to think that because I don't have a clear picture of where the developers are going to take this thing, you know, MMOs are about longevity. They're not about short-term stuff. They're about long-term stuff.
The one thing I've learned from you in talking about MMOs is it's always the end game. That pretty much makes...
Right. How you spend a large amount of your time. And people are going to move through your content and they're wanting... You have to supply content in perpetuity. That's the point. You have to be able to do that. And World of Warcraft isn't even doing that. They haven't had a significant update to their game in almost a year. So they haven't had a real content update, I guess, as long as the current expansion's been out. And the finds its way into the news all the time. Their revenues are okay, but their subscription numbers are dropping pretty bad. So even the fact that the top dog loses subscribers when he doesn't provide content should tell everybody that that's important. And I don't want to get into discussions about how hard it is to make that content. I'm not really worried about it. I'm not particularly ill at the game. I just see that there's going to be some interesting conflict between maintaining a very story-driven game, because while not personal, the story nature of this game is a lot like the Old Republic was. You remember how it was to play that it was all about the story. It wasn't about the gameplay.
Yeah.
Everybody talked about how important the story was. But when you consider how difficult it is to make more content, more gameplay, more dungeons, more things for a story-based game, how expensive it's going to be to have all the voice acting and how difficult it is going to be to build all the cutscenes and all of this sort of stuff, you begin to wonder, like, was this the best idea for something that has to be supported over a long period of time? I'm not exactly sure who they're going to be serving. Primarily, if they try to do both, I don't think it's going to be easy. So I don't hate it. I'm not angry about it. I believe that everybody who bought it at launch really deserves that extra time, because the game was literally unplayable for a week to 2 weeks for most people, for a significant number of people. And that's perfectly fine. I've kind of hit a wall with it. I've played all the various classes. I think a lot of what they're doing is very interesting. I think a lot of it's very frustrating and needlessly mindless stupid. So I would like to come back, check on it later. It is the only thing I played for about 10 days running, so yeah. I do have time in it, and I don't know, it's got a chance. It's done a lot of things good. It's done a lot of things that are intelligent, a lot of things that are quality of life, but I don't know, I can't exactly recommend it. I guess beyond the fact that it's $30, it's super cheap. You know, they're not charging an arm and a leg. You can get a cheaper subscription than you can for most other subscription-based MMOs. But even that's going to turn a lot of people off. I don't know. I haven't decided how I feel about it, but I do know that I'm not interested in devoting that kind of time to
it. And like most MMOs, your first purchase of it, the $30, gets you a free month out of it.
It does.
So that's a great little trial period for just the
sure.
$30.
If you consider how many games you're going to spend $50 to $60 on and play for about a month.
Yeah.
I think that's completely fair. And I think that there's a lot of interesting stuff to see here. But I think a lot of the things that make you a very analytical, very cynical, and very apparently aggressive type of player in MMOs after you have played so many of them for so long, you begin to walk right into these sort of things. And unfortunately, I think even the best of us, even those of us who are not bad people, and I always go out of my way to be as nice as I can online, become the kind of player that casual people do not like just by the nature of how long you've been around. You know, it's like working in theater and then going to watch theater. I say that because I do. And Jeremy and I talk about this all the time. If you work in theater and then go watch a show, there is always a huge portion of your concentration devoted to looking at the lights,
yeah.
looking at the tech, trying to see if you can catch quick changes and scene shifts and things like that. You're not simply absorbing the show. You become a terrible audience member.
It does that to me with radio now. It did that to
Absolutely.
Me when I worked in the movie theater.
That's exactly.
I was like, they didn't flip the, they didn't change their format, their and I've forgotten what the name of it is, but yeah, there's the way that the screen is presented and everything else. Like, they're down on their frame a little bit, need to pull it up, you know, all this other stuff
sure.
that comes through.
So, like, focusing on your job more than the entertainment value of the production.
It's not that. It's that you have become so trained, because obviously MMOs are not my job.
Right.
But I walk into one instantly picking it apart, instantly building lists.
Because you go in with the knowledge of what works and what doesn't work. And when you see people doing things that you know don't work.
Right.
It bothers you.
Mm.
Right. It's
and basically it's, the same. It just takes away from...
It's basically if you watched any one of us play a fighting game.
Right.
Okay. You would have plenty to critique on that.
And it is something in all of that. And it's also rash judgments by developers trying to figure out exactly what portions of the player population they should pay most attention to, because it's an enormous spectrum of players.
Right.
It is almost impossible to build a large-scale multiplayer game, not even an MMO, but a multiplayer game for many types of people. That's why we look at concurrent player numbers over a long period of time of the most popular games, and they are usually laser-focused. They have a very specific type. Not always, obviously. I'm not saying that's true in every case.
Right.
But a lot of them are laser-focused, and they just know... This is our business. This is the lane we're going to travel. These are the people that we want to engage. And we just want to do the best at that. And so other people can say, that thing is not for me. Thank you very much. That's perfectly fine. But somehow MMOs are still drawn in several different directions, because within the type of person who is willing to pay $12 to $15 a month to play an online game, there is that is an RPG based around traditional and really moldy mechanics set in some kind of in the 900 millionth fantasy world that I've played in, right? Even within that kind of fandom, there are still hundreds of different types of players. It's almost impossible. I'm pretty sure it is impossible. I don't know why people keep trying to do it. But those that do have a really, really tough row to hoe. It's very, very difficult. So it's terrible. And then there's the communities, and we're all horrible people. You know, it's really, really, really wretched. So you walk in with so many preconceived notions about, nope, I've seen this fail and this fail and this fail, and you're doing this wrong, and I wish it had that, and I miss this, this, and this from WoW. I miss this and this and this from Guild Wars. I really do think that, like, why can't I have an open world, stream loading sandbox type game anymore, right? Why can't I have that? You know, that really should be in from this other game. And so that sort of dominates your picture of everything. Meanwhile, here comes like this guy who this is his first MMO, and he is just charmed to death by it. And you and the rest of the cynics are just talking about what you think. You're just analyzing it as another piece of meat, you know? And you wind up stomping around all over someone else's good time without even really meaning to, you know? It's very much a good picture of the internet. It's very hard to segregate yourself on the internet for the same reason that old people and young people are going to wind up in the same forums and the same chat rooms. Cynics and noobs are going to wind up in the same games. It's a bad mix. So it's kind of poisonous, but whatever. Best of luck to them. And, you know, I do believe there's going to be a lot of enjoyment in it, but not really for me. Yeah. Also, Grand Theft Auto's out on Tuesday, so what in the world, right?
Exactly. That was the next point, was that, you know, as time goes on, and especially for MMOs, you run into that situation of there's other stuff out there to play that I may be interested in playing. Some people are completely focused. They're just, that's all they're ever going to do. League of Legends, that's all they're ever going to do.
Right.
But
we're playing that right now.
Exactly.
That's frankly all we're ever going to do again. I just want to let everybody know. Go ahead and, you know, kick all of your resources over to in-game chat, Twitch, because frankly, you're gonna need them. As much League of Legends. League of Legends is we're going to be playing.
But anyway, GTA 5 comes out on Tuesday. It has just finally here. It's not one of those things. For me, it sort of crept up a little bit just for the fact that it's like, oh, wow, that is next week.
Yeah. It's sort of inevitable. Like,
yeah.
I'm so, no. Like, I'm so upset that it's coming out. I don't want it to come out. Because I want to, I don't even want to play it, man. But I have to, you know?
It's an obligation.
It's this mass, right? It's this incredible, mass with its just own.
It's like that giant thing that was going to destroy the sun in Mass Effect.
Right, and it's
on its way.
And it's going to be at, like,
there's nothing you can do.
It's going to be at, like, Apogee on Tuesday, and I'm just going to get sucked into it. And I don't want that, but there it is. I kept thinking, like, can you please just push it back? I don't care how much it makes everybody else upset. Can it just please go away from
it? How far back should it be pushed? Because you're just going to run into more stuff.
A medium amount. March.
Okay.
I was going to say spring, so that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should come out in March.
Yeah. Just like...
And it should magically just be on the new consoles and
just,
on the PC all at the
just,
same time.
We should just skip this release next week. Not even bother with the 360 and the PS3 version. Just go till March and go straight to the PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah. And the PC version. Oh, yeah, exactly.
Which is a horrible idea. I know that. In-game chat doesn't have good ideas. This is just things we think. This would make it convenient for me.
That's right.
So if you could please set aside the many dozens of millions of copies of this game you're going to sell so that I am not inconvenienced, because I'm frankly... I don't have the energy to play your game right now.
Now, I already asked you what you were going to be getting it on.
I don't know.
Oh.
Is it Tuesday yet? I don't know.
You told me you were going to get it for the PS3.
I lied to you. I don't know,
okay.
Scott.
All right. I'd like to know.
How? So would I.
Okay. What are you waiting to make that decision for? On Tuesday?
Yeah.
Comparisons? Trying to see, I know what you're waiting on, because I'm kind of sitting on the same thing as you are.
Are you for real? Is it for real as good or better on the PS3?
Right.
Because that just doesn't really happen, you know? And, I don't want to, rehash old arguments. I don't want to talk about this stuff. I don't want to get a bellyache over it, you know? Is the online stuff really something I can care about? Or is it going to be gone like a fart in the wind like it was with GTA 4? I don't care how much you're trumpeting it. I don't care how much everybody is just convinced that it is going to be brilliant. I don't care.
And you won't know until 2 weeks after.
And say what you will about my Netflix list on Xbox 360. I'm still likely to have a better multiplayer experience over there. Based on the simple fact that I will have some multiplayer experience over there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I could flip a coin and whatever, and then do the opposite of what the coin said, probably.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You should decide for me.
Well, I was going to get through Redbox, and apparently Redbox is only carrying the PS3 version.
Really?
When I went to go look at their coming soon titles,
that's interesting.
All it shows is the PS3 version of GTA 5.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, look, man, I think it's worth owning, right?
See, that's where I'm kind of leaning now, too, because it's like...
Wait, you know what? I shouldn't even say that. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. I'm carried along on the same wave of garbage non-knowledge that everyone else is, right? Past is not any sort of guarantee. This is precisely where we were before 4. And then all anybody does about 4 anymore is bellyache. You know? So, I don't know. I don't know. I want it on my PC is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No. I'm with you on that one, too. I would like it there as well. So it's GTA 5 for the Tuesday is when that's going to release.
And are you guys picking it up?
Yeah, I'm picking it up on the PS3.
I'll be playing on the PS3.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't... Okay. Well, you. Yeah. I mean, I know if you're picking it up, that's where you're going to be playing.
It's my only option right now is this PS3.
Right. It's still the PS3, though, right? Like, it didn't suddenly magically become the PS4. Like, it's still the PS3. It still has a horrible controller.
I've caught myself calling it that whenever I've seen... You can pick up GTA 5 on the PS3?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've caught myself a few times saying that.
It's still the DualShock 3. It's, you know, still a much smaller friends list for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Stop looking at me.
Nabokov wants to know why you're interested in GTA 5.
Story.
Okay.
Pretty much it. A lot of games I play, not for like multiplayer like GTA 5 is. I'm really interested in the story and seeing how it plays out.
Did you play 4?
Yeah, I played 4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you play the DLC for 4?
No.
Okay, I was curious. Just because
I completely told myself I was going to do that too.
I did too.
I got it installed. All I got to do is click on it.
Just no desire.
It's too late.
Just no desire to do it.
Final Fantasy just sucks my mouse pointer right over to the launcher shortcut.
And after 5,
it's my fault.
After 5, you'll never be able to play it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. Because I got that on my PC.
Yeah.
Where things look good.
Especially with that the mod for that thing.
Yeah.
You can make it look really good.
Yeah, I don't need to make it look really good. A little bit good.
I can put
and run fast.
DeLorean in my game is where I'm, you know, that throws me.
Then you'll stop doing everything in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's like I did with Max Payne.
It's like
it's all I ever did.
It's like a cardboard box, right? If you're trying to like a cat trap, right? Like if you want a cat to stop running around all over the place, just put a cardboard box somewhere and it'll sit in it. That's what DeLoreans are for you.
Yeah.
If a game would just include a DeLorean. You would just stop playing the game and ride around the DeLorean all the
time. What did I do for Project Gotham Racing 4? I rented it, got the one achievement for the DeLorean, the whatever, sent it back.
You didn't buy Crysis until you could do a DeLorean mod.
Very, very true.
I'm surprised there wasn't a DeLorean mod for Max Payne. Where, like, he was a DeLorean. And he was kind of like, you just kind of like flapped around the game with the gullwing doors.
That would be great. That would be wonderful. Anyway, so let's see. What else? It's GTA, and then October is Beyond Two Souls.
Mm-hmm.
That's in early October. Right. And then mid-October to late October is where we get the new Batman game, and then AC4. And
I'm not doing AC4.
I know you guys aren't. I'm just saying some of the big AAAs that are getting released, it just tends to start stacking up. And then, of course, the new consoles, which... I've talked to James about this. Where are you at on new consoles, Jeremy? You just not...
Not right now.
Okay.
Not on the horizon for me, anyway.
Yeah.
You're still going back and forth, aren't you?
Ah, man. I've had, like, a thing. I've had, like... And I'm not...
Are you going back and forth on which one, or are you just going back and forth on getting any...
Are you for real?
Just trying to clarify.
I'm not out of it at all. I'm not any less interested. But for various reasons, the more we learn, the more we see what things are going to be, the more we absolutely know about the likelihood of the very best exclusives, the kind of things that are really going to showcase what the consoles are, in addition to the fact that I'd like to put a little bit of polish on my PC. I'm really thinking about taking that money and just putting it back into the computer, you know?
Yeah.
It isn't like we just learned this, okay? I understand we did not just learn this information, but we've known it from the outset. We've known it from essentially the first moment that we had hard-ish specs on these two systems. But this is, they've got nothing on the PC. Not one thing, man. Not a bit of it. I think some of the exclusives are going to be super fine, super clean, super polished. They're going to perform very, very well on these individual consoles. And I think you're going to have moments where you have an Uncharted or Infamous or something like that that looks absolutely stellar on its home system.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular case, I'll look at it and think, yeah, I don't have anything entirely analogous to this on my PC. But in general, you know,
we talked
this
about
this. This is not like any other release.
I cannot
These
look.
Consoles are not taking a leap ahead of the PC
right
now.
And I can't look at their launch titles. I can't specifically look at their exclusive launch titles and say, I got to get the system for that title. I can look at some of these other third-party titles and say, sure, but it's also going to be on PC, and I can pick it up there.
And this is, this is no judgment on the entire thing. I want all of the toys.
I
want them all.
Yeah, yeah.
But I really looking at where I'd like to spend money, when I count the $400 for a PS4 and even one game, right, add tax, I'm clocking way above $500 already just to have something to play at home. Maybe if I passed by an actual game and played something on the free-to-play offerings, which again would be good, although most of them I have already played and are available on the PC. And I think, again, that's all great. I'm not passing judgment. I'm simply looking at, I could make some very nice adjustments to my rig, you know. I could do a couple of really good upgrades. We could make some changes to, I mean, I could even throw some of that money into putting things into what we want to do with the show, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'll just go over to your house and play the PS4. Because it's not like I'm not going to get to see one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
But I'm just, I sit at my PC, I love my PC the way that I don't love my television.
I know, I'm exactly the same. I mean, how many game titles have we had come our way? Where it's like, I've requested PC versions of those titles rather than going the 360 or the PS3 route. For the fact that they do the online situation better for us, the way it works. And I put the investment in my rig to make it play games pretty. And so I want to experience those games pretty.
Sure.
So that's kind of the way I've been looking at it. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to hopefully have Christopher Gorlick on the phone from Beta Dwarf Entertainment. Forced is the name of the game. It is on Steam. You should, if you've got a minute, head over to Steam, just look at it, watch the little trailer for it, and you'll have some idea of what we'll be talking about coming up next hour on In-Game Chat. We will be right back. welcome back to In-Game Chats for the second hour here. I want to talk about a game that me and James played last night. It's called Forced, and it's on Steam Early Access right now. And you can go out there and you can try it. I think it's $12,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, $12, you can try it. I ran into these guys. It's Beta Dwarf Entertainment. ForcedTheGame.com is where you can check that out as well. I was walking through the Indie Mega Booth at PAX this 2 weeks ago, and the guy saw me walking through and said, "Hey, you want to come see our game? Let me tell you about our game." The guys at the Indie Booth are just eager as hell to talk to you, and it's great because everybody else, their AAA booths, whatever. You know, like I've said before, unless you're bald wearing a fedora, you know.
And, how would they know you're bald?
True. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Whatever.
It's a clear fedora. Yeah. It's a transparent fedora.
I got to get me one of those.
Derail. Anyway, so, but these guys are just willing to talk to you. And he saw me walking through and said, "Hey, can I tell you about my game, Forced?" And I said, "Sure." And we started talking about it. And the demo stations were completely full. He tried to explain to me how the game worked. And it's not necessarily difficult to explain, but it would have been easier for me to play it and to understand exactly what he was talking about. Because when he told me about it, I was like, why are they having so much trouble doing this? All they got to do is just pass that over and do what they've got to do with the orb and everything else. And we'll tell you about all that in just a minute. But it just seemed like they were having a difficult time with it. And he didn't have any business cards on hand, so he gave me a free copy of the game. And then he sent me an email a couple of days ago with another free copy of it. We gave it to James, and we played a little bit of it last night and streamed it and had a lot of fun with it. This is not something you really want to play single player. You can. We're not exactly sure how some of the objectives can be done single player.
Right.
Especially in that second trial area.
Yeah, I don't know. I was seeing everything through the lens of, wouldn't it be nice if there were three other players who did exactly what I wanted them to do?
Not what they wanted to do. Instead of this one guy who can't do anything I asked
him. No free will. If they just could read my mind and do what I wanted, yeah. Wouldn't that be helpful? No, but it is. I'm often suspicious of games that claim to be, it's co-op, but like, you know, you can play it alone, which I don't really want to do. But two people is fine. Three people is fine. Four people is fine. I'm really suspicious of that because a lot of times I don't feel as if they're telling the truth. You know, I think a lot of times that the game is maybe not really enjoyable with two players when it can support up to four. Or with four, it's some kind of insane madhouse, you know, just like kind of a wreck of an experience. Because it really is balanced more towards two or something like that. I don't think it's the case here. Again, I don't really want to play this game single player, but it was completely doable after, granted, a handful of headset throwing rage quits jump up out of the chair and scream across, you know, the room a few times. That was just me. That's just
what you do.
That's just
right?
How I get through my evening a lot of times.
Okay.
But it was mostly because we had just come that close to completing an objective, and then Scott goes and ruins it. Just, you know, because he doesn't have anything better
always
to do.
Always me. Always me.
What did you do, man?
Whatever. Just any kind of creative tomfoolery to just destroy my experience, man. That's what.
Nothing.
So, no, I know nothing was one option for Scott to do. Sometimes he would do nothing, and that would completely ruin things.
No, but he was. He was in a place where his connection was blazing fast. And we're like, hey, we should do some co-op streaming because we haven't had a chance to do
that. I ruined the stream, by the way. I apologize for that.
Yeah, it's only his vocal, so you can't hear the wisdom that I spout, which is fine. But you do get a cam feed of him, you know, going berserk and having his moments. So
we will highlight those for you.
Of course.
Available,
yeah, exactly.
On the YouTube channel at some point.
Put some yakety sacks under there. Just have fun with it. But it's like, hey, we should co-op a game. So we're like, what do you want to do? We've got Payday 2 we could do. And we both kind of agreed that's like, you know what? We really shouldn't do that unless we got some really competent players with us to do this. And
that's
like,
not what I said.
No. But you said like,
that's not what we agreed. We agreed with what I said.
Yeah, only the like. Yeah.
No. I said, I don't know how well Payday streams because you kind of, it's, there's an intensity to it, right? And there's a need for genuine communication.
Yes.
And so if there's people involved who don't, who are not like our people and don't know what disasters we are as people and who don't appreciate our sense of humor or my inebriation or anything like that, I don't want to ruin somebody else's time by, you know, just like showing up into their game or having them in my game and being like, hey, we're not going to do what you want to do. I'm going to run my mouth. We're going to stream for a while.
Yeah.
So unless it's like our people or you know, listeners, fans who want to participate in that kind of waste of time, I didn't want to do that. Also, I don't know how to play it and, you know, whatever. It's just too much. I didn't want to do it.
So the next option was Splinter Cell, Blacklist. And you got into that. And it was just like, where's the button that can just start co-op?
Yeah, I launched the game, and it was like, let's go! And I was like, what? And I meant to ask you if it did that to you. I launched the game, and it was like, let's go!
Yep, you're already into it, yeah.
And I was like, I need a main menu.
I need an option screen, I need all this stuff.
Let me tell you about how PC games work. First button is settings. And then I stay there for a while. And then the next button is controls. Maybe that's under settings. I don't know. But that's where I go next.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I'll think about, like, clicking start game. And then we can ask, do you want to do the campaign? Do you want to do co-op? Do you want to do competitive multiplayer or whatever? And then you can ask me the difficulty. And then we can start the game. That's not what Splinter Cell does. Splinter Cell starts the game. And there you go.
It does. It really does. I had to press space a bunch of times just to be like, okay, let's skip this, skip, 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 skip. And as soon as it gave me the option to pause, I said exit to, I went to settings and did everything I could. Then I had to restart the whole thing over with. And then you go through, again, it still throws you in there. You have to go through this little first mission thing. Once that's over with, you get shot to the hub, which is very... I don't really know what to call it. I mean,
it's very much in context.
Yes,
of the game, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You have to get in the game, playing the game before you can decide
to play the game.
What kind of game you want
to
play?
Somebody wanted you to have an experience.
Somebody did, and I have got to tell you, clicking on settings is an experience that I like to have. I like to come at the game the way I want to come at the game. That. I understand that from an artistic, from a creative, from an authorial point of view, maybe you want this kind of thing to happen. And maybe I'm just acting out of, you know, memory of how I've been playing video games for decades. But I like to be presented with the various options. I like to be able to choose the exact moment of the starting. I like to know ahead of time because I have a relationship with my PC. Like, maybe there are certain things that I want kind of turned off. Maybe I've never had an auto detect settings thing work correctly. Or maybe, just maybe, I want to take that moment, I want to have that pause before I actually jump in to your amazing, pristine, and unmissable narrative.
Yeah.
It's a huge mistake for them to do what they want to do because it implies that I should not have any control over how the thing moves forward. It's a modern game. I barely have any control anyway. So Can you just let me have my menu? No? Can't even have my menu anymore. Thanks.
So
a lot.
Splinter Cell was out.
I can't even judge the game because I was sort of irate, is all I'm saying. That is not my judgment of the game.
It's not. We're still going to do it because we had a ton of fun on Conviction, I guess, when we did the co-op. You and
I don't even remember which one it was. It was one of the ones with the... I don't know, man. I don't know. Which one was it?
That was Conviction. Yeah.
I can't tell.
I know.
I cannot tell anymore.
All I can remember of that one was that the very end of it is when you have to turn on each other. You get a different set of instructions, and I get a different set of instructions that are basically, go kill the other guy.
Right, I let you kill me.
Right, exactly. That's what happened. Because he's so gracious in that way that he will let you win. No. So, we decided, hey, what about that Force game we got? So let's check it out. We both had it installed. It's real quick and easy. It opens up to a main menu where you can change your settings.
Right.
In fact, even before you start the game, it has like what resolution you want to play this in.
Yeah, right. You know, you can actually change the settings on the launcher, which is kind of
exactly.
Nice.
Fantastic and great and all this other stuff. So we launched it, got into it, and
it's what did I say earlier? I did the thing that you should never do, and it's really not right. But I'm sorry, I can't help it. It's like almost as bad as the car analogy to video games.
This, yeah.
It's like this meets this meets this. Mm-hmm. I really hate that. But sometimes, like, you see the light go on in somebody else's face, and they're like, "Yeah, that makes." It's like what did I say? It was like
you said, Torchlight 2 and
no, I just said Torchlight, like in terms of like the color palette and the point of view and everything.
You said Gauntlet.
Gauntlet and Smash TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's because it's got like Smash TV type controls, like independent
movement
and aiming. Mm-hmm. It plays really well on a controller, much better on a controller because on the PC it wants to use WASD controls. It doesn't work exactly correctly. Play it on a controller.
Yeah.
And there are, you can play up to four people. There are four weapon types, which essentially amount to classes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all distinct and different, and you can't have duplicates.
Right.
There's like a there's a character that uses a bow. There's a character that uses a couple little like pokey bits that I'm guessing are daggers.
Yeah. And one of my secondary attacks, well, one of my secondary abilities there was to heal.
Right.
So I became kind of a healer type situation.
Right. There's a chakram, which is a mix of melee and ranged for special attacks, and then there is a heavy hammer using class. And each of these has passive abilities. Active secondary abilities that you can begin to stack into your control scheme and kind of, you know, modify in your traditional action RPG style way, just without it being quite that same approach in the game world. And it is all arena based, objective based combat, wave based in a certain respect. And you're stepping through the story, stepping through difficulty, stepping arena by arena, and then at some point kind of hitting a wall with difficulty and having to go back and meet the more advanced challenges in the earlier arenas in order to unlock more skills that'll help you deal with the higher difficulty, which is what we found ourselves doing last night. We made it most of the way through the first little batch of areas, and it was... If you think you're just going to kind of mindlessly bash your way through it, that's like where some of my frustration came from. Because I just thought, okay, we're going to jump in and I'm just going to get a feel for it. But it is absolutely asking you to invent or discover, rather, strategies with your other players. Your guide, for lack of a better term, is a spectral kind of orb that has certain powers or can be imbued with certain effects taken from the environment. And you have to call him to you. He never moves independently. And each player can call him. So much of the strategy isn't just about which switch to hit and how to do a specific thing. It's the various uses that this orb has in a particular area, how you have to employ those, and communicating, like absolute perfect communication with other players about when to drag or move or ping pong this guy from one place to another. So it was, I mean, despite, you know, being hampered by, frankly,
playing with me,
it was incredibly fun because we kept thinking like, oh, we're terrible at this. What are we doing wrong? Let's just try this ridiculous strategy. Let's just try this stupid thing because this sounds like maybe we can like break the game a little bit so that stupid people like us can beat it. But in doing that and experimenting, you're actually uncovering real environmental strategies, and you realize that that's what you were meant to do the entire time. And there's a lot of glee in that, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction, there's a lot of fun, and it wants good execution. You know, you can get by with middling gameplay, but it really wants you to do a good job. And to be able to do a select, because Scott kept, and it's funny, I know this is really stupid, it reminded me an awful lot of that. You know what we did last night? That's why I like MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Take out all the take out all the crap most people think about them. I like Dungeons because to me, what that game is, what Forced is a dungeon run in an MMO with like three or four other people, everybody having to coordinate and communicate and kind of figure out what any individual challenge is, what a boss requires, what a trash pack needs, exactly which enemies are going to do what kind of damage, what kind of spells or skills or classes have to be brought to bear on any one particular conflict or whatever. That it's the perfect distilled essence of what I like about that sort of stuff. And, you know, you kept thinking like, we can't do this, we can't do this, we can't do this. And it reminded me of running, you know, new difficult content in an MMO. And you just, no. Let's give it another try. Let's give it like five more tries. Let's wipe five more times. Mm-hmm. And then we're done because people get too frustrated to actually pay attention. But instead of doing this, let's now try this. Or, hey, this works, so let's add this in. It's, in its own way, it's about the best part of an MMO without all the garbage of an MMO. At least from the point of view of someone who likes dungeon running. You get in there, you find it, and we finally beat it. And like, I died, but that last, like that last challenge that you and I were trying to get.
Oh,
that very, yeah. Very last moment. You know, it's like the tank died, but God. It doesn't count. Boss is down, it's fine. Put check mark, we cleared it. We didn't do it like it was a Pyrrhic victory, but
it's a really great. It's one of the things we'll put on the highlight of the video, especially that ending, just to see the trouble that we went through and how many times we replayed that level. And then it's like, I think we can do it if we do it this way. And it was just a Hail Mary type of situation where it's like, yeah. and it worked.
Yeah,
because I was so, I thought, did you died?
Yeah,
you're dead, right? Does it matter? Does it okay?
I got the meteor cast off. Doesn't matter.
Counts.
Because yeah. You were still alive.
It still counted. So and it worked. But it's really, really fun. Just give it a shot again. I don't know that their site has a demo. I am not exactly sure. But check out forcethegame.com. Again, $12 gets you the early access version into it. If you find some friends for it, I think they've got one of those four people pay this sort of thing. The four-pack thing going on for it. So, which is completely suitable for a game like this to get four of your friends to get in on it. So definitely check that out. Again, it is Forced on Steam, green light. Go or early access. It's already gotten through the green light process. So anyway, check it out and give it a shot. And if you see us online, join us and play. And we'll do some more streaming of that. And we'll get to those other games too. We'll get to Payday and we'll get to Splinter Cell and have a lot of fun with those as well.
Payday though.
Yeah.
They patched it.
Did they?
And people are not happy.
Oh, I haven't looked into that.
Yeah. You know, I don't know where we are in relation to a break, but I had a thought and I did want to talk to you about Payday, so.
Well, let's go to a break and we'll come back and you can talk to me about Payday. So we'll be back with more here on In-Game Chat. Welcome back to In-Game Chat for the final segment of the show. Just going to sit back, talk about some games here. Talking specifically about some Steam games, and we'll get into the Steam news there that pretty much everybody knows about. But you wanted to talk to me about Payday 2.
Yeah, I meant to ask you if you had seen, or if anybody else had seen, because I was kind of in a mood to get into it in the near future, but apparently they had their first, maybe not their first, but a major balancing patch.
Yeah, I mean, right? They have constantly spit out updates for this
right,
thing.
Right, but apparently there was an awful lot of heartache over this particular one, and they just did a massive nerf and buff in all the wrong ways for a lot of the players. It's always very interesting to me when a cooperative only game becomes very obsessed with balance. I don't exactly understand that. I understand wanting to avoid exploits that mean people can just cheese your content and things that have a really bad effect on community. It wasn't until reading a thread about all of these complaints that I really understood that Payday should have been pitched to me. And I know that I have my own densities to worry about, like my own inability to open up to new things. Because all I really know about Payday after, you know, however long is like the stupid clown mask, right? I don't actually have any concept of the game. But it's just a kind of a different flavor of the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. Because I ran into a number of people who were comparing it to that in these discussions of how balance was handled in that. And I loved that. I just absolutely thought that was incredibly fun. Now I really want to play Payday because I understand that it's just, you know, if Mass Effect 3 multiplayer was about cracking safes and wearing clown masks instead of blowing up Geth, well, sure, it's Payday. Maybe. I don't know. Like, I know. I haven't played it. But I realized that it's a game perfectly designed to kind of scratch that itch, and I don't know what my problem is, why I haven't played it yet. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I know it's important for them to actually make changes to it, and I hope that it isn't something that I would have a problem with right now. But I saw that they did make an enormous number of changes and possibly introduced an enormous number of bugs in this patch. You said they've been rolling out several?
Just patch. There was one where, like, there was a thing you could do that if you were on one side of a wall... and your objective was on another side of a wall. If you were close enough, you could reach that objective through the wall.
Oh, I see.
If it's like, hey, unlock this. If you were kind of behind some cover, you could still sit there and unlock what you had to do and that sort of stuff. And then they patched that out. And then they patched out. There was another level where the escape route was always in a certain place. And then when they patched it, they randomized it. So you never knew, once it got to a certain point in that level, the escape route would pop up, and you never knew which way it was going to be. So getting prepared, you really had to change your whole strategy on where to get prepared. That was okay, because, I mean, if it's the same thing every time, it just becomes...
Right. Again, Mass Effect co-opted that. They had different randomized extraction points.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure for some of these levels, they want to do that with that. So, but this... Especially when it released, it was almost every other day you'd get a patch to it, an update. Now it's almost every week there's an update to it. If I check Steam, I always have an update of Payday in there. Apparently this last one is getting a lot of flack.
Unpopular.
So, yeah. And hopefully they listen to their community and can go back, especially since they sold 1.5 million copies. 80% of those
are digital.
Are digital sales. So
that's weird.
Yeah.
That even 20% of them are not digital.
I know.
Where in the world are you buying Payday 2 like that's physical? Why would you? I don't know. It's whatever. It's weird.
It's out there. It's available. But for whatever reason, only 20% of the people did that. But yeah, 80% digital sales. Really good for them on that. So, you know, speaking of digital sales, the Steam family sharing was announced this week.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, not stealing the thunder, just sort of taking the attention away from anything Microsoft was going to be doing with the Xbox One as far as, like, what they had planned to do for their sharing program or whatever that whole thing was going to be. I still am not sure exactly how it works out. Steam has tried to explain theirs as well. The entire library can be shared with friends and families on up to 10 different computers. Not every game will support it, and it can't be shared outside of a user's region. So you got the region lock still going on. It seems that the library is shared and not just a specific game, meaning that if I give Jeremy access to my library, he can play any game in there. But as soon as I want to play one of my games, even if it's not the one you're playing,
then I get kicked off.
You get kicked off.
Right.
And that is going into beta, what, next week?
I believe so.
Yeah. I believe it hits beta next week. And I don't know when the official rollout of the whole thing's going to be, but beta next week. And I know you signed up for it or at least joined the group for it so you could get into it. So, and I've done the same as well. I'd like to see how that works.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that you'll be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good feature, particularly for me when I've got other people sometimes that want to play my games at home. You know, Becky will want to play a game I've got, or maybe one of my kids will. And, all right, fine, but I don't want you playing on my account because, you know, that tracks my progress and my achievement. So if they can now play on their account, you know, when I'm not playing, that's great.
This actually does solve a real problem, a genuine problem, and really does seem to me designed exactly along the lines of a family plan. Mm-hmm. There have always been arguments from people that, like, I really wish somebody else could play this. I just don't want them having it on my account. You know? Can we simply treat this like the other systems already do? You can have multiple accounts on an Xbox and play off the same disc, play off of one disc. So the concept of family and friends sharing on those systems on the consoles still left, still wanted an awful lot of explanation and clarification. But this, Steam doing this, actually addresses years of complaints from people who were just like saying that, you know, can you simply not make it? I'm not going to buy, I don't want to buy two copies of the game just so people in my one household can play it. That just, right. I'm not going to do that. Whether that's fair or not, it doesn't really matter. I can already buy one copy of the game for my Xbox. Everybody can play it in turn on their own account. So this doesn't do much for me because I don't share my account anyway with other people. But for people like you that have a family with several people that would want to share some portion of your library, this is
exactly what we needed. Yeah.
Yeah. This is absolutely an excellent answer.
So,
also, you can buy stuff that I don't want to buy.
I know.
And then I can play it. Because you're going to add me to your family.
Of course I am. Yeah, no, I know. And that'll be kind of nice to have. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how that whole thing, how they improve upon that, what the other things that they'll add to it. I don't know. Just Steam keeps evolving in ways that I really didn't see them doing in a sense with the trading cards and the marketplace type of situation where you could sell stuff there was something I didn't expect. And now this is something else that I really didn't expect just for the fact of just how tight of a hold a lot of digital publishers have on their games, saying you have to buy this copy, and if anybody else wants to play it, they need to buy this copy. Situation. So to be able to let them do that, which, by the way, somebody tweeted to us, RJ, King of Fighters is now on Steam.
Yeah, I saw that earlier.
So
in the
something
week.
For you.
I've got it on PS3. I saw that news come out on shoryouken.com a while back. Yeah, the beta phase or something like that.
I think it is. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. See how well that goes online. See how the net code works with that one. Because I know playing it on the PS3, I haven't had any problems with that one. I know the one before that was god awful online. They made some serious fixes on that one the next time around, so we'll see if they did better on Steam.
Yeah. Going back to games that we played, what have you been playing, RJ? It's been a few weeks since we've gone over stuff you played.
I was playing the remake of Castle of Illusion.
That's right.
I was playing that on Steam a while back, made a stream of it, and I should be able to put that up after a little while. Had a good time with that one, you know, one of those hitting the nostalgia. Feelings I got playing that on the Genesis, and as a bonus, when I pre-ordered it, I got the original version as well. So, you know, played that to get the feeling back into the game, and then start playing the remake again. And it was everything I was expecting. A really good playthrough for me.
Jeremy, what about you? Anything?
I played Fez since that showed up on Humble
Bundle.
I did
see you playing that last night.
Yeah, I didn't want to, even when it was on sale for half off, I didn't want to spend $5 on it on just that. But as part of a Humble Bundle, which also included Mark of the Ninja.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
So you didn't have Mark of the Ninja before the.
No.
Oh, nice.
No, I didn't. Yeah. So that'll probably be my next thing. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I like puzzle platformers, and it was a really good one. It was kind of short, and the more complicated puzzles are way too complicated. But you don't have to solve everything in the game to complete it. It's a really good game, and you know, if that's your sort of thing, I really recommend it.
Well, glad you've had fun with it. I know that James has been playing Final Fantasy, and what else? I mean, anything outside of that other than what we've discussed?
Nope.
Have you played? Okay, nothing. Nothing at all. And then, of course, I've been playing Forced, and another one that I've been playing and having a lot of fun with is Speedrunners.
Yeah, I saw that. You.
That's really a lot of fun. It really is. It's quick and easy to get into. You know, you start it up and go right to the, you know, hit multiplayer, because that's all it is multiplayer. Yeah. You wait for it. That's the only problem, is waiting for people to play, because apparently not a lot of people have this.
Yeah, I saw it. I was thinking about Bionic Commando swinging from platform to platform. And then someone got that drill and started taking folks out. That was really interesting.
It really is. It's a race between superheroes. It's a foot race with superheroes. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. And you get some power-ups, and you go through the level. The first person who wins three times wins. If somebody falls behind, the camera only zooms out so much to encompass all the players that are involved. It zooms out to a max once you get separated so far. And if that person behind you, or if it's you, falls off the screen or whatever, that triggers that either triggers the end of the race if there's only two people, but if there's more than two, that triggers the screen to start getting smaller. Mm-hmm. So your window of how far behind you can be from the first player gets smaller and smaller and smaller, because once you're out of the screen, you're out of the race. Mm-hmm. And so the first person to get three wins wins the match. And currently they've got four levels that you can run through. The levels do have difficulty. There's the beginner, intermediate, and then the advanced ones as well. The levels start having dangers that you can run into, spikes and stuff that'll just instantly kill you. But it is a lot of fun, and it is part of Steam Early Access. It is $10, and that'll get you the entire game and whatever else they plan to do with it. More power-ups, more players, more levels, that sort of thing. And I don't know, had a lot of fun. That was another one where I was walking through the mega booth at PAX, and they're like, "Hey, come play our game." I said, "Sure. All right, show me what you got." And when they did, I was just like, "This is great." So that was a lot of fun as well. Another one that I played that you guys saw a stream of was called Truck Stop. This is from Indie City. Well, Indie City is no more. Their parent company went out of business just this past week.
Wow.
So the game is actually unavailable at the moment. Blitz Gaming, I think, is what the name of the company was, or something like that. They went out of business after like 30 years. They went under. So Indie City is no more. The guy who worked on this is a guy who used to work on Burnout. He worked on Burnout 2, Burnout 3, and I think he did a little something with Burnout Revenge. He was not a part of Burnout Paradise. And it's just basically a crash mode is all it is. You start at a certain point on the map, you drive towards an intersection, you wreck stuff. As you wreck stuff, it increases your crash breaker. It's called something else, but that's what I'll call it. It increases your crash breaker. When it does, you hit the space bar, your truck explodes and causes more mayhem. And as it does that, it fills up your crash meter again. And when it does, you hit the button and it explodes again. And your damage adds up in money value, and you get a bronze medal, bronze, silver, and gold. Based on how well you do in the level. So it's $5. You can't buy it right now because Indie City is closed, but he's working on a way to get it out there. It is part of Steam Greenlight, so if you go over there, you can give it a thumbs up and try to get it through. $5 gets you into it, and that was an easy cost for me to make for something that is made by a former Burnout dev and is pretty much a crash mode all the way through. Lots of fun with that. There's if you go to our YouTube page... Go to our YouTube channel. You can see video of Speedrunners. You can see video of Truck Stop. And we'll have video up of our time with Forced and a couple of the other games that we're playing. We'll get your Castle of Illusions video up there as well. And that's pretty much what I have been playing since I got back from PAX. So, looking forward to GTA 5. Wish it was on PC. It is not. But
yet.
Not yet. I know. Didn't they, when was Max Payne 3 released on consoles and PC at the same time, I thought?
I don't remember. Or did I didn't play 3.
Yeah. I think the PC got a little
Not
bit
the
of
the same guys.
Delay.
I don't think. There is a conversation about how Rockstar stuff works and like why certain stuff gets released on PC and certain stuff doesn't, and certain stuff is day and date.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it was. But I think it was a different group.
I can't remember. I think it got delayed by just a week or something like that. I remember there being some issues with it coming to PC, but it wasn't like, it wasn't typical Rockstar fare, which is consoles first, PC 6 to 8 months down the line afterwards. So that wasn't the case. But yeah, I really wish GTA 5 was going to be released there. So a few more minutes. Anything else? Anything else in the news wanted to cover? Anything else going on with some of the stuff that you've been playing or some of the stuff you're looking forward to playing? I guess not.
Is this what happens when I don't talk?
Pretty much.
Come on, you can think of something. I could take a nap right now and come up with something to say.
You could.
I could run my mouth in my sleep right now about video games.
What would you
say? They are the least boring thing, like, in the whole world of consumer entertainment. There has got to be something that you can say about it right now. This is a test.
I'm going to fail that test.
Come on, you can do it. What are you going to play when you leave this station?
I'm going probably speedrunners. Probably speedrunners because it's quick. Because when I get home, you know what I do? When I get home, I start getting this video ready. I start getting the video ready for uploading, and that, you know, eats up 6 hours of the laptop. So while I'm doing that, something I can jump into very quickly is speedrunners. I really want to get into Splinter Cell. Like I said, I haven't played beyond that opening segment, and I just really want to go further into it.
Did you play... this? I know this is a stupid question, but it's hard to keep track of who has honestly committed themselves to what in the past. Have you always played the single players of those? Or did we really just do the co-ops? Like, were you ever really invested in the single player stuff of Splinter Cells?
No, the only one I was ever... there were two of them I was interested in the single player. I mean, obviously the first one, but Pandora Tomorrow, we specifically got that to try and play co-op together.
Sure.
Because it did the Spies versus Mercs. And then Conviction I played through the single player completely. And then you and I just played a little bit of the co-op. I did not play... Double Agent.
Right.
I never did play that.
Don't regret that at
all. I know. I heard bad things about it as well.
I'm mostly just curious whether it matters to you who voices Sam, what Sam looks like, what the very specific story is. If you have any relationship, any past history to him, whether you care. You don't particularly dig on stealth games anyway.
I don't. I'm always excited for them, but I'm not very good at them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the joke is that there aren't any anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a few, you know, but like if you really want stealth, you go play Mark of the Ninja.
I know, exactly. You know? And I loved Mark of the Ninja.
Yeah, it was fantastic. But like the old style, you're not going to get into a Splinter Cell and play Splinter Cell. You're going to play some variation on a theme that's come along in the years after the original release. But that slow, that methodic, that trial and error, that sitting in shadows and waiting forever kind of thing. It's all gone. It's done and gone because it's hard and it takes up time and it's not flashy and not enough people like it. So that they've built the supposed option into the game doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I could also choose to play the game with only one hand if I wanted to make it artificially harder. But if your game is built around a certain balance, you know, of combat and of sight lines and availability and all this other stuff, I was not in like particularly good shape last night, and I just sort of like ran through the first mission, you know, and I put it on like hard. I clicked the thing that said like hard and just ran through it. I didn't try, and I was fine. And that really kind of upset me, you know, like I stored a stealth, and then I was like, never mind. I'm just going to stand up. And the guys didn't hit me with their bullets, and I just sort of, okay, you're dead. Now you're dead, and I guess that's what kind of game this is, you know? It's just a shame is all. Yeah. It's very flashy. It's very quasi-high development values, I guess. I don't know. There's lights and shadows and graphics happening and things like that, but, you know, I don't care. I don't care if it was a good stealth game. I'd spend the entire time with my, you know, cool headset that makes the noise.
Yeah.
Right?
With your detective vision on.
Right.
Exactly.
Sneaking around, hanging from pipes, like doing cool stuff like that, grabbing guys in the shadows and like making them wet themselves because I'm scurry, you know? And like, there was some great moments in the earlier Splinter Cell games like that. And that's not there. I don't even mind an action game, but get over yourself. If you want to be an action game, go and be an action game. But you could not play the early Splinter Cell. Like, you literally could not do it. Mm-hmm. If you just decided, I'm going to stand up and run and shoot, then the game, like, you were done playing the game. And that's not the case here. That's completely optional.
That's one of the things I'm looking forward to in Takedown, whenever it gets released. The first-person tactical shooter.
Uh-huh. Oh, right, right.
Yeah, where it's like, you can't run and gun in this. You will die. You need to plan. You need to communicate with your players. It can do six-player co-op.
Six players?
Yeah, six really? Players. Which, I mean, what were we doing on Rainbow Six 4 at one time?
Which one? Which
Vegas.
Version of what?
Vegas.
This is 3, I think.
Yeah, but I think you could do 4, couldn't you?
I don't remember. I thought we were doing 3, but it's fine.
Yeah, I just remember using the camera to map my face to the...
Right. We may have had 4. We may have had 4 in Vegas. I don't know.
I think Vegas had 4.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're adding 2 more, but, you know, it comes out next week sometime, and it is just something I'm really looking forward to where, you know, you pick your loadout, you know what you're getting into. I went and watched some old videos of SWAT 4 and had those great feelings of, man, this was fun. Because they give you the map of, like, here's your entry points. Here's where we think the guys are. Mm-hmm. They're wearing this, so you'll need the hollow points and all this other stuff. You need to pick the type of ammo that you're going to use, the type of weapon you're going to use, and your loadouts as far as the secondary.
I'd really like to do that with
grenades.
You guys again.
I know. It'd be a lot of fun. So yep.
Moments like that have only... They're very limited. I can count the number of times games mm-hmm. like that have really worked on one hand, where you have something like Hidden and Dangerous or SWAT 4.
Yeah.
Or maybe the very, very early Rainbow Sixes before they went all pear-shaped, you know?
Did the very early Rainbow Sixes have co-op?
They did, didn't they? I'm not just inventing that. Like, even the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
But all the way up through something. Where's Matt? Matt would know. This is the sort of useless information Matt files away. But yeah, they did. They had fun multiplayer stuff in them. It was weird. It didn't work at all like what we would consider 21st century multiplayer to be. It was kind of broken and strange, but yeah, it did.
Yeah. But it was still one of those situations where everybody needs to talk, need to tell us your location, what's there, you know, and that whole situation of what have you got? What have you? And I think it's got the ability to remember what we could do in SWAT, where I could hit the button and I could see your view.
Yes,
I could see what you were looking at, so I would know exactly where you're at and what you see and that sort of thing. I believe it also has that in Takedown as well, so you can really plan your attack. And you know, just something I'm looking forward to next week when it releases, on top of GTA 5. And then on top of whatever else is coming out, because I know there's going to be other little tiny games that are going to get released that are really fun to play. You know, walking through the indie mega booth, I really wish I would have spent more time there, honestly, because there was just a lot of good stuff that I didn't notice until pretty much near the end of the show. There's a guy on COG who's making a game called Windforge, which is like a Terraria thing, but involving airships. And where you can build
an airship out of a whale, is that one?
Right. I know it's going to sound strange, but the whales fly. Whales fly, and they attack you, and if you can kill them, they actually turn belly up. But once they do that, they sit there and they float. You can board that whale. You can get on top of the whale. You can drill into him and collect whale meat that you can build walls with. And then you can attach an airship to it, and that can be your home. The inside of a whale has an airship. I know. So he was making that. It's called, again, Windforge. So if you want to check that out. And a lot of other great games that were in the indie mega booth. So good times ahead, basically. I met Jamie Fristrom from Energy Hook while I was out there.
Okay.
He had the Oculus Rift version of Energy Hook going on.
I was just thinking about the Oculus Rift.
Yeah. I got a lot more time with the Oculus Rift while I was...
I'm really looking forward to that thing coming out, the more I see of it.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I think I'd rather spend the money on that than a new console at this point. At this point, anyway.
You know, you release those at the same time.
Seen some really fun-looking stuff on there.
I would agree with you. You really, again, you release those at the same time, and it's...
Of course, we've got no date on that thing, so
no.
It's still a ways away.
But that's a decision to make. If those were to be coming out, I would have a choice at that point. All great stuff to look forward to. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Next week, just want to let you know, we're going to be talking with, again, planning it, but I'm pretty sure this one's going to come through because we've been planning it for a couple of weeks now. But Dave Fennoy and Sissy Jones are going to be with us on the show next week. These are voice actors. Dave is known, you'll know him as Lee from The Walking Dead game. And Sissy Jones, you would know as Katya from The Walking Dead as well. She was the mother of Duck. And I can't remember the wife of, I can't remember what his name was. Kenny?
Yes.
Yeah, wife of Kenny. They are going to be on the show with us next week, so make sure you tune in for that. It's going to be a lot of fun talking to them about, you know, what it is that they do and maybe what it is that they'll be doing for another game. Who knows? But anyway, thanks everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us every week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to join us on Twitter, Facebook, our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. Matt has some codes he wants to give out from... the latest Humble Bundle that was released. He's got some extras, and he would like to give those away. So make sure you get over there and put your name in the hat, and you're likely to get a game from him. That's it. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next Saturday.